You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Jeff Call, the BYU beat writer for the Deseret News. How are you doing today, Jeff?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing swell. Weather's cooling down. It's finally fall is what it feels like to me.
It does.
So, speaking of fall, we're about, BYU's halfway through, a little over halfway through their football season. How do you feel the Cougars have done up to this point?
Well, I'd have to say that if you would have told me back in August during fall camp that BYU would be without not only Jamal Williams, but without Taysom Hill, without Travis Tuiloma for much of the early part of the season, and then several of the other guys have had injuries and missed time, for this team to be 5-2, I think that's quite an accomplishment, because I don't think many people would have expected that. I don't think many people would have thought that Tanner Mangum would be able to be as effective as he has been. Just so recently returned home from a mission. I think BYU has got to be very pleased with where they are right now. And having said that, I think there's still some disappointment there from losing to UCLA, a game that was definitely winnable. I could have won that game. And then the Michigan game, I don't know if there's any real explanation for that one. Just the tough schedule maybe kind of caught up to them. And the fact is, Michigan's a very good team. So overall, I think 5-2 at this point, BYU has to be pleased. And there's still a lot in front of them, a lot of games that they can look forward to. And games that if they win, they could be looking at getting back in the top 25 and maybe finishing out a very strong season.
Yeah, I mean, you brought it up. Is one surprise of the season, or maybe not a surprise to some fans, has been the immediate emergence of Tanner Mangum. How would you rate his play? And at this point, how high is his ceiling for the rest of his career at BYU?
Well, again, if you put it in perspective, there's not a whole lot of guys that have played as true freshmen at BYU, the quarterback. And he's just been tremendous. I mean, not only statistically, but the way that he's been able to come in and win games. The few guys that you have seen play as true freshmen at quarterback, you really see some struggles. You really see some growing pains. And other than the Michigan game, you really haven't seen that with Tanner. I mean, he's poised. He seems to know what he's doing out there, has confidence. He has the respect of his teammates. He's just very upbeat and positive. And so, what he's doing here is really, I think, unprecedented because, again, not only is he a true freshman, but the fact that he was at BYU, that's helped him, be able to go through a spring at BYU and get some experience that way. But it's amazing to me, a guy that's just, again, just months removed from a mission. I mean, I served a mission to Chile, and I certainly was nowhere. I wasn't ready to do anything. I was just kind of lost that first year after my mission. And to see him excel like he has on the football field, and with everything that comes with being a BYU quarterback, and that means off-the-field stuff, which is very demanding with media and just expectations and people wanting a piece of your time, for him to be able to manage it as well as he seems to be handling it is really remarkable. I never would have expected him or anybody to be able to do what he's done to this point in the season. And I think moving forward, he's going to break every true freshman quarterback record this season as long as he stays healthy. And, as time goes on, you expect him to get better and better, and who knows what the future holds. But there's no doubt he's an outstanding quarterback, and I think most people look at him and say, he's a guy that will probably play in the NFL and have a decent career because he's got that skill set, he's got the mindset to be able to do those things.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of him being able to make it out the rest of the year, you know, he's suffered the hamstring injury. I mean, Wagner's this coming week and then a bye week for BYU. Do you envision him playing very much this coming Saturday?
Well, I would, you know, based on what the coaches have told us and what Tanner himself told us this week, I think, you know, the reasonable expectation would be maybe a quarter or a little over a quarter, just some time to kind of get back into a rhythm, to kind of test out that hamstring a little bit. I would expect, based on Wagner's level, that BYU should score pretty easily and pretty quickly. And so I would imagine that if BYU rolls up a 21-0 lead, which I think most people would expect, they're early in the game. I think they would, at that point, you know, pull them out and allow Bo Hodge to get as much game experience as possible. This is a perfect time for him to develop and to just have that experience. I know, in the East Carolina game, he's put into the fire. He's put in a very tough situation. On Saturday, if he comes in with a big lead, maybe he'll be able to relax a little bit and kind of, just have fun out there and show what he can do with the offense and things like that. So I guess I would not expect Tanner to play a whole lot on Saturday, but just enough to, again, get his feet wet a little bit. He's going to be off again next week, like you said, with the bye. So it'd be good to kind of test out that hamstring a little bit, but not to do too much to where, he obviously gets injured any further. But that's kind of how I see it playing out on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Bo Hodge and how he felt in the ECU game. I think, this week they're probably getting him a few more reps with the one, so that when he does come into the game, he's a little bit more comfortable. And then you add on the fact of a lead. How pivotal do you think it is that he gets this experience with Tanner Mangum looking like he's going to be the quarterback of the future as well for BYU?
Yeah, Bo's a good guy. I mean, he's you can tell that he comes from football stock with his dad having played in the NFL and having been an analyst for so many years on ESPN. I think he's a pretty cerebral guy. He looks at football in a way that maybe not a whole lot of guys do at his age just because of his background. And I think it's, it's really important for him to get some meaningful snaps, even if it is against the FCS school. I think just the more opportunities you get, the better it's going to be. And I think we're going to see a lot of strides and growth from him since that time we saw him at East Carolina, because we know that after that East Carolina game, going to the Cincinnati game, he was getting way more reps than he had been getting just because no one was absolutely sure about Tanner's situation. And as it turned out, BYU didn't need Bo Hodge against Cincinnati. But I think it's going to be interesting to see with that increased level of reps that he has been able to get, to be able to come in. And again, in a more relaxed atmosphere, I expect him to do pretty well. And I think he's got a bright future. And I think also, who knows what's going to happen with Tanner. I mean, if he were to suffer another injury or something, or if that hamstring were to flare up or whatever, they're going to need a guy like Bo to come in and produce. And again, this Saturday is a perfect opportunity for him to really start to get comfortable with the first string and with the other guys and kind of develop a rapport with them and show what he can do. So I think, to me, that's probably one of the biggest things that BYU is going to get out of this game on Saturday is the development of Bo Hodge, as well as other guys, some of the second and third string guys. We always know depth's an issue at BYU, and the more these guys can get out there and play, the better it's going to be for the whole program.
I mean, you bring up the second and third string guys. I mean, which one of these guys do you think will benefit the most from getting some extra reps against Wagner this weekend?
There's quite a few. I mean, you look at the depth chart, and there's quite a few guys that have seen playing time this year because they've been kind of thrown out there in the fire. I'm eager to see guys like Michael Shelton a little bit more. Matt Hadley, some of the backup offensive line guys. We did see last week Austin Hoyt get in there and really make an impact. Brad Wilcox looked good. You know, a bunch of guys that Jatarius Gully, maybe we'll see, Parker Dawes, different guys that will get some more reps and more time. Austin Hoyt, I think, is a big bright spot on that offensive line, and which we saw against Cincinnati last Friday. And, you know, Trey Dye, I think, is a guy that you'll see. Maybe Moroni. I'm not even going to attempt his last name because it's kind of a tongue twister, but the freshman receiver Moroni, I think we might see him. He's been hobbled up a little bit with injuries, but he showed really well in the spring. And maybe Saturday, if he's healthy, maybe this will be his chance to kind of show what he can do on the offensive side. On defensively, like I said, I mentioned, you know, Micah Simon and Michael Shelton. You know, the defense, the linebacker who's seen a lot of these guys come in and out because of the injury situation. So, yeah, well, I think we'll see some more faces. We might see Nate Carter come in and, like he did against Savannah State last year, and run for 80, 90 yards, who knows. But I think, you know, from a fan standpoint, that's kind of what you have to go into this game looking at, is seeing some of these younger guys, maybe less experienced guys, or guys that just don't get as much a chance to play, to kind of have their moment in the sun and again, continue to build up that depth.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting week, you know, really halfway, a little over halfway into the season, and you're playing a team like Wagner, and, you know, Riley Nelson was on the show, went up today online, and he mentioned how, you know, when you're playing an FCS opponent, he would, you know, do an hour of film study on the opponent he faced, but then also do more film study on himself, things that he could see and improve on in his game. Do you think BYU is continuing to treat it that way, where, you know, yeah, they're going to do some scouting and make sure they're prepared, but there's almost like an additional week of a bye week where they can, you know, really improve themselves and prep for the rest of the season?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely that element to it. If you talk to the coaches this week, I mean, I think what's being preached to this team, the message that's being sent to this team, is that we've got to get better and, you know, we got to get out there and fight hard, and we're not going to look at the opponent's record. We're not going to look at, you know, what division of college football they're in. We're going to get out there and, you know, play like this is a ranked team. And I think it's important to keep that edge because with, again, that bye week coming up next week, they can't afford any lulls or anything like that. There's a lot to play for in November. There's a couple road games that are, well, three road games, really, if you count the Missouri game as a road game. You know, there's a lot to play for this team, and they can't afford to take any steps backward or anything like that. And, you know, one of the kind of the pitfalls of being independent, of course, is that we've seen this pretty much every year, is that, you know, about this time of year, BYU is going to play an FCS team like a Wagner or Savannah State or somebody, Idaho State. And most teams across the country, as you know, play these games early in the season to kind of get the kinks out and work out some of the wrinkles and stuff. And BYU is really not in that position. Their schedule's always going to be front-loaded with tough games in the beginning. And so, you know, it is kind of an odd timing for this, and it's something BYU's got to get used to. I know a lot of the SEC teams kind of schedule some FCS schools toward the end before their big rivalry game or something like that. But this is a kind of a different situation for BYU. And, again, I think the coaching staff realizes that there's some big games coming up, and they can't afford to take any day lightly and to slide backward in any way, because if they do, they could find themselves in some trouble. And so they're trying to keep that edge. Because you look at the schedules moving forward, you got San Jose State that first week of November. And, you know, a few years ago, BYU went into San Jose State and lost there. So there's no guarantees there. I mean, you've got to come to play. I know San Jose State's not a very good team, at least compared to the team they had 3 years ago, but that's a 9:30 kickoff mountain time. You just can't take anything for granted there. Then you turn around the next week, you fly out to Kansas City to play at Arrowhead Stadium, which is a great opportunity to play an SEC school in Missouri. And that's going to be a physical game. It's going to be tough. Then you come home with your home finale against Fresno State, and then that season finale, regular season finale at Utah State. I think we all understand that's going to be a tough game for BYU, especially what we saw Utah State do to Boise State last week. And so, again, tough challenges still coming, and this team's got to try to get as healthy as possible, do some self-scouting, but also maintain that edge and that intensity and keep this momentum going. They've got 3 wins in a row, and I think this team wants to win out, obviously, to have a double-digit win season. It's going to be tough, but it's doable. I mean, despite all the adversity BYU's gone through this year with injuries and different things like that, they can still have a very, very good season, and that's what they want to get to, obviously. But again, they cannot look at this week or even next week as just a time to just, you know, lay off the gas pedal and just kind of relax and pat themselves on the back for what they've done so far in October. They really need to keep it going so they can have a strong November.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the upcoming games. How do you expect BYU to finish out this season?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if anyone really knows. If I look at those games individually, you know, I would expect BYU to take care of business at San Jose State. Then that Missouri game, that's kind of I look at that game kind of like maybe the Nebraska game at the beginning of the year. It's kind of you don't really know what's going to happen. I know Missouri has struggled offensively, but they seem to be a very good defensive team. So that could come down to the wire. That could be a tough, tough game. Definitely a winnable game for BYU. And then Fresno State, I would think, you know, Fresno State's really struggled. I would expect BYU to take care of business there. But Utah State, again, it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, we've seen this Utah State BYU series get more and more, you know, more and more intensity. As Utah State has really raised the level of its program. We all remember what happened last year in Provo with Taysom Hill going down, and then Utah State just looking really good offensively and taking care of that game. And so I know there's going to be some motivation there for BYU to get that game back. But you're playing in Logan, and, you know, I've covered many games, BYU-Utah games up there in Logan, and those fans, they thrive on that game, and that's going to be a great atmosphere. You have no idea what kind of weather you're going to get on 28th of November in Logan. Could be snow, could be 60 degrees, you just don't know. And so there's just a lot of, you know, there's a lot of intrigue surrounding that game because there's so many things we don't know. Still a month left of the season, what's going to happen from there. I would expect Utah State to win out up into that game. I mean, going to that game, you know, riding a pretty impressive winning streak, and BYU could be in that same situation. And that game, who knows what could be on the line with that game. I think bowl games could be on the line, certain bowl games and things like that. And not to mention in-state pride. I think that's important too. Just with recruiting and things, there's just a lot at stake in that game. And I think if you're a BYU fan with no conference championship in the equation, that's a great game to end the season on, especially a Utah State game or Utah State team that's very, very good and talented. And again, based on what happened last year, there's just a lot riding on that game on the end of November.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. You know, you really, you know, I agree with you. I think you got San Jose's a win. You have Utah State and Mizzou, which you both touched on. I'm curious to hear what you might think. Which of those two games do you think is the bigger game for BYU? Is it the finale for state pride, or is it playing a SEC team, which, you know, is technically at a neutral site, but it might as well be a road? Which of those two do you think is the bigger game for BYU?
Well, I think you could look at it in one of two ways. I mean, on the one hand, BYU doesn't get to play SEC teams very often. And so that's a great opportunity for BYU. It's going to happen more in the future, as we've seen future schedules with LSU and Mississippi State coming up in future years. But this is a great opportunity for BYU, and I think it's a situation where they're playing an SEC team, and while it's not at home, it is a neutral site, which I think helps BYU. So that is a big deal for Tom Holmoe to schedule that game. And I know a lot of things, other games had to be shifted around to make room for that game to create an opportunity for that. I know Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs coach, was involved in all that, kind of helping out to make sure this game happened. So with everything that's been put into that, I mean, that in of itself is a huge game. Now, for BYU, it probably would have been better to be playing a Missouri team that was having a better season. They're still a very good team. They're offensively, I'm not sure. I've seen them play a little bit. I'm not sure what's going on there, but it'll be a tough game, and it's a big one. Anytime you can beat an SEC team, that's definitely a resume builder and something, you know, feather you can stick in your cap. So that's a good one. And then if you want to compare it to the Utah State game, I mean, you know, Utah State is a team that BYU plays on a regular basis. They recruit against Utah State. I think it's really, really important that BYU win that game. Having not played Utah the last couple of years, having lost to Utah State last year, I mean, you want to establish your in-state presence and show that you are, a team to be reckoned with in the state of Utah. BYU get to play Utah again next year, of course, but for years to come there. But, from the rivalry standpoint, in-state pride standpoint, that's a huge game for BYU. I'm not sure how you can really say one is bigger than the other. But I will say that if, you know, I think it just kind of gets built upon itself. If BYU can beat Missouri and go into that game 9-2, wow, what a huge game that could be nationally, is because, you know, at that point we could be looking at two teams possibly being ranked. We could look at two teams maybe possibly getting, maybe the winner of that game goes to the Vegas Bowl. So it's going to be exciting and fun. I don't know how I can answer your question, but they're both huge games. And once again, one of the biggest complaints I think I've heard from BYU fans over the years about independence is, you know, there's nothing to play for in November. There's no conference championship. There's no real games with meat on them. But this year, you can't say that because you've got an SEC opponent and you've got a game against the in-state rival who's playing very well. So a lot to be excited about if you're a BYU fan.
All right. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on with me and talking a little bit of BYU football. I do have one final question. Called the show the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. I was hoping that you might be able to give us your favorite spot to go for lunch, either in Utah County or in Salt Lake County.
Favorite spot for lunch? Boy, that's a good one. I think, can I give you two?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, I have to be a big fan of Tucano's. Tucano's provides the pregame meals at BYU games, and so quite fond of Tucano's. I try to get over there when I can. And the other place I would say in Provo is Burger Supreme there on University Parkway. Used to go there as a student, and just great food. I really enjoy it. So those are probably the two that I like to go to.
All right. Sounds good. I mean, I've been at Tucano's. I mean, that's a large meal, depending on what you get. I'd probably need a nap if I went there for lunch at work. I don't know how much my boss would like that. But, Jeff, once again, thanks for coming on. And hopefully maybe we'll talk to you later on in football season and definitely as we get on into basketball.
Okay. Sounds good. Look forward to it.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.